Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Omudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Have you ever had cramping, abdominal pain, bloating, gas, diarrhea, and constipation? If the answer is yes, you are like many people. However, for some, these are not just normal occurrences, as these symptoms may be a result of irritable bowel syndrome or IBS. The symptoms range from mild to severe, and they can come and go. The gastrointestinal issue can affect anyone at any age. Experts say among many reasons, certain foods are the cause and trigger of irritable bowel syndrome in people. And we will discuss irritable bowel syndrome or IBS on the program today. Joining us via phone from Philadelphia is Dr. Onikepe Adegbola, founder of Casa de Sante. Dr. Adegbola, welcome to Africa to Health Chat.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Also joining us via phone, we will have another guest, Deborah. Deborah is a patient and has been dealing with IBS, and she was diagnosed not long ago. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great. It's great to have you. And ladies, again, thank you so much for being with us. Listen, I wanted to start with you, Dr. Onyx, as we call you, as you like to be called, Dr. Onyx. Can you explain to us a little further what is irritable bowel syndrome or IBS?
Yes, so irritable bowel syndrome is actually the functional disorder of the gut. And it's unknown, but it's a group of symptoms including pain or discomfort in your abdomen and changes in bowel movement that occur together. So, in short, your gastrointestinal tract behaves in an abnormal way without evidence of damage due to your disease.
Okay, and. How often, how frequent is it in the general population? For example, here in the United States, what can you tell us in terms of perhaps some statistics or how often it happens?
Yeah, so the estimated prevalence of irritable bowel syndrome is 10 to 20%, and the incidence of the IBS is about 1 to 2% a year. So that means you have 1 to 2% of cases, new cases every year.
Mm. What do we have any statistics for Africa, by any chance?
I don't believe so. This data is for Western countries. I don't believe it has been that well studied in Africa, just because making the diagnosis is probably is a little bit more difficult, and also so it hasn't been a huge focus of study.
Okay. Now, Deborah, let me come to you. You've been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome. Can you tell us about what you were experiencing before your diagnosis? What was life like?
Life was very uncomfortable because I had a lot of diarrhea and stomach cramps. And I'm very young. I'm only 27. So during my high school years and college years, I would have to get up at random times go use the restroom because of my diarrhea, and it was very embarrassing, and it really made me struggle in school.
Mm. And you're only 27, so when did these symptoms start?
These symptoms started when I was like in middle school, like around 15 years old. I started seeing some changes. I started getting pain. I thought it was just constipation, but then it turned into like diarrhea and stomach aches. And sometimes I'll just think, oh, it's menstrual cramps. Mm-hmm. But it
Wow. And Dr. Onyx, 15 is pretty young. How young do we see it in patients?
Well, the vast majority of the patients, it does occur in younger patients. A lot of the patients, it can start as young as teenage years. A number of people have had it for many years. The peak incidence is in the 20s and 30s, but it can start as young as even in children. We even have patients, child patients that are on the FODMAP diet as well. So it can start pretty young.
Mm-hmm. So what is really causing irritable bowel syndrome? Can this be a genetically linked condition, or you can develop it as Deborah developed it?
So the cause is really unknown at this point. There are a number of theories. Approximately, 50% of people with IBS actually report symptoms below the age of 35 years. So starting pretty young is, like I said earlier, is really not uncommon. But it's been thought that there is, the cause is not quite clear, it's thought that there are a combination of problems, including brain gut signal problems, issues with GI motility, pain sensitivity, infections, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, mm-hmm. as well as issues, genetics is certainly could be a possibility, although it's unclear. But it does seem that IBS is more common in people with family members who have a history of GI problems.
So, Deborah, when you were diagnosed, first of all, at what point did you decide that you've had enough and you needed to see a doctor about this particular problem, as opposed to thinking that it's menstrual cramp?
When I decided to go see a doctor was when I was just in a meeting, and out of nowhere, I felt like I was going to just, poop on myself because of the diarrhea. I couldn't take it. So my husband told me, look, go see a doctor because this is getting too much. So I decided to go see my doctor, and he couldn't diagnose me. I went to numerous doctors until one of them told me that I had IBS.
Mm. And when you heard that, what did you think? Did you even know what it was?
I had no idea what it was until he explained it. And then I started connecting the dots and everything, and it made a bunch of sense. And he even put me on a diet plan, the low FODMAP diet plan, and mm-hmm. that has helped me a lot.
And we will discuss FODMAP because it is a diet that seems to be working to address IBS in patients, and we'll definitely go into that. Now, Dr. Honest, she had these symptoms and was encouraged by her husband. What are you recommending or suggesting people to do in terms of seeing the doctor? At what point should someone get worried as opposed to thinking, okay, I'm just having a regular constipation, diarrhea, or this may be something more critical?
Well, if somebody is having these symptoms constantly, they should definitely, and if they're, affecting their life, they should definitely see the doctor. If they, if they have it, at least three times a month, mm-hmm. or at least 3 months, and if it, if it's affecting their way of life, this is a time to, this is the time to see the doctor.
Are there some things that trigger the symptoms? Maybe the food or the weather, or I don't know. Are there some triggers?
Many people with IBS do report that foods rich in carbohydrates and spicy or fatty foods, coffee, alcohol, and some of the FODMAPs do trigger their symptoms. So the people with food sensitivity, they typically don't have signs of food allergies, but it's also possible that poor absorption of sugars or bile acids may cause symptoms in people with IBS.
Now, there's this this condition that people commonly call lactose intolerant. How do you know that you are having IBS as opposed to being lactose intolerant? Because this is something that I hear a lot of people say, I'm lactose intolerant, I don't eat cheese, I don't eat, I don't drink milk, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. There are quite a number of people who lack the enzyme lactase, especially as they grow older. And it's actually more common in African-Americans and people of African descent. Lactose intolerance generally is only related to dairy-containing foods. So with IBS, and some people with IBS are sensitive to lactose because it is a FODMAP. But you could be lactose intolerant only without having IBS, and if your symptoms are only related to dairy products, then you're and nothing else, and then you're And then, you know, removing dairy products improves your symptoms, then you're likely only having lactose intolerance and not IBS.
Now, let's talk about FODMAP. This is something that Deborah mentioned, and you talked about, you mentioned it more than once. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce it, and I hope I do it justice. Fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. Whatever that means, Dr. Onyx, can you just explain to us very simply what are FODMAPs?
Yes. This fermentable oligosaccharide, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols that you said quite nicely.
You say it so simply, like it's a simple word. It's very complicated.
Yeah, they are scientific names for four types of carbohydrate molecules that are found naturally in a number of the foods that we eat: fruit, vegetables, grains, beans, and milk.
Okay. So, can you repeat that? Vegetables?
So they're found in vegetables, grains, beans, and milk.
Okay, vegetables, beans, milk, and you say one more?
Vegetables, grains, beans,
oh,
and
grains.
Milk. And
okay.
Some other products, but just those are, you know, in general.
Okay.
And also onions and garlic as well.
Okay. So these are part of so many people's diet. So tell us what do you do here? I mean, are people supposed, first of all, are all people who develop IBS allergic to all these at once, or someone can be allergic to just veggies or milk or just grain, or do they go through everything?
That is a very good point. So people, initially we do recommend that people go on an elimination diet for a few weeks, an average of 3 weeks to eliminating all these molecules from their diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then after eliminating all these molecules from their diet, then they go through a reintroduction phase. And then they introduce these foods back into their diets gradually and look at the examine their reaction to these foods. What happens usually is that people will find out that they react to one or more of these carbohydrates, and then they avoid those carbohydrates that they react to in future, but can continue eating the carbohydrates that they do not react to. And so it's important to know that, you know, the FODMAP diet is not a lifelong diet. People are encouraged, once they identify what their triggers are, what causes their symptoms, you know, bloating, diarrhea, whatever, constipation, whatever it is, that they eliminate those food groups from their diet and then continue eating what they can tolerate.
Okay. And Deborah, in that process where you were eliminating, what did you find out? What are you able to tolerate and not tolerate?
I found out that I can't tolerate onion and garlic, but I feel like I can still tolerate some wheat and a little bit of beans and some dairy like milk, but not exactly cheese because that one's really heavy.
Mm, okay. So dairy, you are sensitive to, you cannot tolerate dairy. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, mostly, yes.
Okay. And now, to what extent has your diet changed?
I feel a lot better. I can manage my symptoms now, especially with the Casa de Sante products. Like before, I used to eat a lot of Mexican food. Like I used to go out to the restaurants, the fast food areas to get it. But when I found out I had IBS and that was messing my system up, it was really hard for me. So I went to my dietitian, and he was the one who actually recommended Casa de Sante. So I've been making my own food at home, and helped me with my symptoms and keep everything in control.
Fantastic. And we will talk about Casa de Sante food, what you are doing and what you are offering your patients. We'll do that in a second. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk more about irritable bowel syndrome and how to address it and what is being done about it. We'll be right back.
Okay. From 300 to 500 bacterial species inhabit the human gut, many aiding with digestion and the proper functioning of the gastrointestinal tract. The gut flora not only play a role in helping neural responses that control digestion, say scientists, but evidence is beginning to emerge that they can also affect a person's mood. Premisal Birchick is a researcher at Ontario, Canada's McMaster University. Birchick is interested in what he calls the microbiota-gut-brain axis, the communication between the gut and the brain through the millions of bacteria that live in the gastrointestinal tract. Birchick notes that between 40 and 90% of people with irritable bowel syndrome also suffer from symptoms of anxiety and depression. Having a condition of no known cause that's marked by cramping and constipation is no doubt upsetting, but research led by Birchick suggests that some gut bacteria may impact mood.
What we found was that the patients who were treated with this probiotic bacterium improved their gut symptoms, but also surprisingly decreased the depression scores. That means their mood improved. And this was associated also with changes in the brain imaging.
What Birchick describes is a small pilot study of 44 IBS patients who also suffered from mild to moderate anxiety or depression. Half of the patients received a daily probiotic, a beneficial gut bacterium called Bifidobacterium longum, and the other half a placebo. The participants were followed for 10 weeks. At the beginning of the study, the patients' levels of depression and anxiety were scored. They also underwent high-tech brain imaging to see which structures were activated in response to happy and sad images. At 6 weeks, 64% of patients taking the probiotic had a decrease in their depression scores compared to 32% of the placebo patients. A second imaging study showed changes in multiple brain areas involved with mood in the patients who felt better. The findings were published in a paper in the journal Gastroenterology. Birchick says larger studies are needed to confirm the findings.
However, I think it shows a great promise. I mean, if new treatments, not only for patients with functional bowel disorders like irritable bowel syndrome, but may offer some new treatments for patients with primary psychiatric disorders like major depression or anxiety.
B. longum was isolated and tested by scientists from Nestle, a Swiss food and drink company which funded the study. The probiotic is not yet commercially available, but Birchick says it's possible other good bacteria in the gut improve mood, even though they've yet to be discovered. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS. Our guests, Dr. Onikepe Onyx Adebola, founder of Casa Decente, and also joining us is Deborah, who is an IBS patient. They are both joining us from Philadelphia, which is about 2-3 hours from Washington, D.C. So, ladies, we just had a report from VOA's Jessica Berman, who reported on a study where probiotic so-called good bacteria aiding digestion are said to help ease depression. And Deborah, I'm going to start with you by asking you, when you were going through your symptoms, to what extent did that affect your mood? Did it give you any anxiety, depression, as we heard in the report?
I got a lot of anxiety.
Okay.
Because, you know, sitting down and just wondering, okay, what's my body going to do? What's my body going to do? Is it going to do it now, later? That causes a lot of anxiety. And it was so, that experience was just awful, but I'm very glad I don't experience it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And Dr. Onyx, to what extent do you see your patients being affected mentally, you know, their mood and everything?
Yeah, so psychological problems
have actually been found to be common in people with IBS. The link between mental health and IBS is not really clear right now, but it does appear that if you people that have IBS, their colon may respond too much to even slight conflict or stress. Mm. And stress, makes their mind more aware of these sensations in their colons. And conversely, IBS symptoms can also increase your stress, stress level in these patients. So it's like a revolving door. And
yes,
there's still a lot more research to be done there, but there's definitely some sort of link.
Okay. Now let's talk about Casa de Sante and the work that you're doing to address IBS in patients. First of all, can you introduce us to Casa de Sante? What is it?
Yeah, thank you. So we are one of the first companies in the U.S. to develop a product that are certified for the low FODMAP diet. The low FODMAP diet has been shown to be effective in up to 70 to 75% of patients with IBS. And like Deborah was saying earlier on, it's very hard for people to go on this diet and follow this diet because onion and garlic, for example, which is one of the things that they cannot eat. Dairy, although there's a lot of dairy free food out there, but it often contains other things that are not acceptable in the low FODMAP diet, like fructose, for example, high fructose corn syrup. So for people on the low FODMAP diet, it can be very difficult to find something to eat in the regular supermarket, and I saw that with my brother firsthand. He's a physician, and he was having trouble he was having bowel symptoms, and he was ultimately diagnosed with IBS, and he went on the low FODMAP diet, and it was very difficult for him to find something to eat. And it was based on this this personal experience, I decided to start Casa de Sante to provide low FODMAP certified foods as well as resources for people with IBS on the low FODMAP diet.
So is it something that helps in the long run in terms of patients getting better, being healed? Is there such a thing as curing as IBS?
It's interesting that you asked that because a study just came out that showed that over 50% of patients on the IBS diet, on the low FODMAP diet, had their IBS symptoms improved dramatically and pretty much go away after a few years. So what happens is that a lot of people go on the initial elimination diet, which they don't eat any FODMAPs for a few weeks. They reintroduce FODMAPs to their diet, and then they continue on a modified FODMAP diet in which they have identified what their triggers are and have removed this from their diet. And for the patients it's fairly effective. And, those are the ones that are fortunate. And for some other patients, unfortunately, there are other people that it doesn't work for. But it can be very effective with people with IBS and decrease their symptoms significantly and even eliminate it in some instances.
Deborah, tell us what is your typical diet like now, like breakfast, lunch, dinner? How often do you eat during the day and what do you eat?
So for breakfast, I'm a really light. I don't eat a heavy breakfast in the morning.
Okay.
So I eat the granola by Casa de Sante. And for lunch, I have gluten-free pizza because of the wheat, and it's part of the FODMAP. And then for dinner, I have I make chicken with the Mexican spice blend, maybe a little bit of some gluten-free tortillas, and that's about it.
Okay.
I eat around 3 times a day.
Okay. And are there recipes that are suggested? I know we talked about ingredients and the type of ingredients, right? But are there recipes, like some things that you shouldn't mix? Maybe if you eat them separately, they are okay, but if you mix them, then they can cause a problem.
So on the website, I get my recipes from, I go to Casa de Sante's website a lot. I even follow them on Instagram. But they have recipes on there that I like to follow because it's really hard to find, you know, recipes for patients with IBS, mm-hmm. you know, just on the internet. And they have portion sizes for me. They even have meal plans that I use. So not everything's off the top of my head, but, like, I like to pick and choose from the website what to eat, and that will benefit myself and also my husband.
Okay. And Dr. Annex, when you look at the type of, you know, demand that is out there for people suffering with IBS and the services that you provide through Casa de Sante, do you think that there is a need to scale up in terms of addressing this issue and really finding ways for patients to find comfort?
Oh, you know, I do. I think that there is, you know, given the prevalence and incident of IBS in the population, in the Western population, the fact that it is the second most common cause of workforce absenteeism, and the fact that only 10 to 20% of people with IBS seek medical care, the amount of money that has been devoted to research for cures, as well as raising awareness of IBS is really minimal compared to other diseases. I think this is an underfunded, under-talked about disease. Mm-hmm. I've worked with other diseases that, you know, have a lower incidence and as well as lower prevalence that have more visibility. And so I think, you know, there is a little bit more visibility coming to this condition, but there's definitely room for improvement in terms of education and information out there.
Now, let me ask you this. As a woman who was originally from Africa, do you think that some of the diet that we eat, and this is just, you know, your personal take on it, of course, you can give us your opinion as an expert and also as a person who is from there. Do you think that some of our diet can be perhaps a cause, not a cause, but perhaps it can be provoking somehow IBS? Because I know it's not everywhere, but in some places in Africa, I am from Ivory Coast, and some of the recipes are very, very spicy. So can this be a reason, a trigger to IBS, the recipes, the type of ingredients? I mean, clearly there are some ingredients when we talked about FODMAPs that are causing IBS, but the way we cook our food, can this be also a problem?
Yeah, we do tend to have a lot of very spicy food. We use onions, not so much so garlic at this, but it's just, you know, from my part of the world, I think that's maybe more recent. But we do use, you're right about that. We do use a lot of spices. We do use a lot of heavy foods with oils, and we're eating a lot of vegetables and beans and things that could, you know, trigger spicy foods and fatty foods, foods that are rich in carbohydrates, that could definitely trigger symptoms, absolutely.
Okay. And Deborah, let me have your final words. What do you hope to see? You're now on the FODMAP diet through Casa de Sante. Tell us how your life has improved. This will be the final word, very quickly.
I see a lot of improvement. My self-confidence has increased a lot. My anxiety has gone down. And it's all thanks to Casa de Sante, because without the FODMAP diet or without that product, or even because I can't even find it in grocery stores. Like,
okay.
You can't get it in the grocery store. So it's really helped me a lot. And really help calm down my system.
All right, Deborah, thank you. Dr. Onikepe Adebola, thank you so much both for joining us.
And thank you.
Thanks to our listeners. I'm your host, Lina Omudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.